I'm John Travis, and I'm here with David Roy, and wanted to talk today about some of the differences in approach and atmosphere and how you go about doing things between, I don't know how you'd say it, maybe the old guard versus the new guard, us old fogies versus you young whippersnappers. So, David, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm David. David Roy. I'm the new assistant operations manager for the paint branch of J.A. Travis. I'm like a fourth-year redshirt freshman. I've been interning here for quite some time and went off to college, came back, and I was lucky enough to have a job. So thanks for hiring me. Appreciate that.
We are glad to have you on board. What was the internship like for you? I know from my perspective. I'm just curious.
It was a very fun and exciting experience. I think it definitely gave me a leg up in comparison to a lot of my classmates at university and stuff like that. Just because I'd been exposed to it, both construction in the field and then also on the management side. And it gave me a little bit of an edge there, and it allowed me to appreciate both sides of how a business is run and then how to operate things on the day-to-day in the field, which was very nice.
So you went to A&M, construction science, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am curious, like, as you just discussed, what are the differences between like what you learned in school versus in the summers? So in the summers, as I remember at the very beginning, you know, I've known you forever. You know, we were out in the field and working on job sites and hauling scaffold and paint around and sanding. Oh, so much fun sanding.
Oh,
and then,
yes.
You know, worked our way up to riding around, checking jobs, you know, kind of the gopher of go get this and take it here and let's walk a job. What did you see as some of the big differences maybe between what you were learning and what you experienced? You said it gave you a leg up.
It did. The reality between how college and universities teach things and then how things are done in the field is always different. You know, I think there's a lot of like, this is the perfect world and this is how things work in the perfect world and this is what you should expect, when in reality, there's curveballs every 5 minutes that get thrown at you. And I don't think construction is very much a strategic plan and a day-to-day. It's much more of a reactionary type thing. And so whenever I was presented problems at school, a lot of the other guys would go, well, this is what the textbook says. This is how you build a building per the plan. Whereas I could go up to the professor and go, yeah, well, your schedule is going to be 2 weeks behind schedule because this, this, this. And that always ended up giving me a little bit more of a chance to, one, impress the professors, two, kind of learn a thing or two, because then they would be willing to kind of divulge a little bit more of their reality, because all they do is teach the book when really that's not how the real world works. I don't think the book has ever been that accurate. And you can see that nowadays on jobs, like right now, there's jobs that are behind schedule. We have supply shortages, things that you don't learn about in school, and then it happens and you just got to figure it out. And luckily, I think I'm a little bit more equipped to kind of handle those situations.
So real world, you know, and I'm assuming you tell me here what you're referring to is, in practice, this is the sequence of events, but the reality is on a daily basis, it's a constant battle, struggle, deal with, roll with, people problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Issues, conflict, inner resolution. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes. Because I think people that are coming out of the construction sciences, regardless of what school you're going to, it's always a, this is how it's going to be in an ideal, perfect world. And that's what they're ready for. And in reality, that's not often the case.
So you've seen how we deal with conflict resolution, whether we do it well or we do it bad. You know, as a newcomer, in a sense here, taking responsibility for projects and the like, what's the biggest, I don't know if culture shock is the word, but what's the biggest difference or biggest learning curve or biggest thing you're like, oh, I got to go figure this out?
One of the biggest things that I've always found to be interesting is the dynamics between the guys in the field. There are some guys that you just can't put with other guys because they're not going to always get along. And that's not bad for either one or two of those groups. It's just, okay, we know not to put them on a job site because they're not going to be as efficient. There's going to be issues. And that was always interesting to me because I always thought, oh, we'll just sit them down and talk it through it. And I've realized that's probably not the best approach sometimes, because people tend to get a little heated and things get a little loud. So that was certainly the big one that I took away, was having to figure out where certain people go and how they're good at this one thing and they need to be separate from these other guys. That way everybody's happy. Because I thought everybody was all on the same team and we just all love to work together no matter what. And that's not always the case.
It's like a giant Sudoku puzzle,
yeah.
Right, on any given day.
Right.
You know, some guys won't work with other guys. That's true. Some mm-hmm. guys won't work on certain areas of town or
right.
outside of town. Some guys can't work heated schedules. You have all kinds of scenarios. I mean, you have some of them. It's like blood feuds. They won't work with each other. You know, and other times it's just they don't like the style or, you know, I had one with just, you know, two guys wouldn't ever work together. Well, why? Well, some guy said something to his girlfriend like 15 years ago. I mean, it's just, you get everything, right?
Yeah.
And so it is a struggle to figure out, okay, as the manager, how do I make this work? Because if I turn around and force it through, especially in this day and age, somebody's going to just leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to mess with it. Life's too short. Forget it. You know?
Yeah.
So you got to work around all that. What else have you discovered? So sounds like moving guys around super fun. What else?
One of the ones that I find to be interesting is company loyalty versus what I would say more free movement between employees. I think this is one of the things that we could talk about between, you know, the old guard and the young whippersnappers is guys my age, traditionally, we look at a job for about 4 years and then take it or leave it. We're willing to move on. Whereas I think a lot of the older people, no offense, but I'm going to call you old in this particular situation, you guys believe in that company loyalty a lot more, and you're willing to forecast 30 years and work at a company for a very long time. Whereas my generation, that is a terrifying concept for us. We like to keep it under 10 years and then move from that window to the next 10 years and the next 10 years. And if a company can give us a good 10 years – three times, then you'll have us for 30 years. But if we have a 2-year period where we're thinking, no, this isn't going well, we have no problem jumping ship. And I think that's very interesting. It's something that I'm starting to see pop up even in the field with some of our guys, is they're more than happy and willing to leave right now to go work somewhere else if they determine that they can get paid a little bit more, and maybe they don't see the full picture, or we're trying to give them a path of progression that some of these other companies won't give, and they'll just take advantage of it. And that's a scary thing for me, at least.
So that's a good point, and something I worry about and have forever, right? The way I've always looked at it is it's symbiotic. I need people who are willing to share the vision and work towards the goals that I and we collectively outline. At the same token, with that comes a responsibility that I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to make sure the work is there. I'm going to make sure that people are taken care of. And then in exchange for that, you know, people are going to give you their loyalty, is the hope, and they're going to work hard and do a good job. So when I grew up, it was very different in that there were a lot more craftspeople than there were jobs, right? And so traditionally, when I came along 24, 25 years ago, how I approached it was very different, meaning that there was always a collective group of people in a company that may have been there for a long time, but then there was maybe half the company that when it was busy, they're there, and when it wasn't busy, then they were ejected. And I hated that concept. I hated laying people off. I hated the idea of you're going to be here today and you're not tomorrow. So I very purposely went the other way, and I literally said to myself, I want to be like a Walmart, and Walmart may not even do it this way. That's just my analogy I used, where I'm going to be able to keep 80% of the guys busy, right, all the time. I'm going to have my workload to where they're going to be able to have their time. They'll be able to have overtime. They can grow, and they can be trained, and I'm going to help be responsible and take care of that. And then the other 20%, maybe that revolves around, but it was a different model coming out of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s to when I got in there. Now, fast forward 20-some years, you look around, many of those people are celebrating 20-plus years with us. I mm-hmm. mean, we have a lot that are 20, 15, 10. But I guess my comments would be is that, yeah, it is different because right now there's less craftspeople than there is work, right? And
right.
So the pressures are up. I personally believe that that will not always be the case again someday. I think there's going to be a limited resource, that's true, for the craftsperson. But just because it's that way today doesn't mean it's going to be there tomorrow. So I'm the old fuddy-duddy that says, why go to all the brain damage to go chase the dollar or even $2 when that guy's going to do it the old way and he's out of town? I'm going to go chase the new guy that came into town. Well, that guy may not be gone. That guy may be gone in a year, and then you're back out on the street. Why go do that? Why not be the person that we've been around for 100 years? And prayerfully, if you know other generations, yourself included, want to continue it, be around for another 100, and we can provide that home. That's how I've tried to approach it. The second thought I have there, though, is you're absolutely correct. Like you said, 10-year, 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 right? I hope you're here 30 years, but I understand that life changes, and it's hard to make a commitment that long. And so I think in that, the same person that David, you, are today will not be the same person you are 10 years from now.
I hope not.
You know, and won't be the same person 20 years. So along the way, we have to evolve. And so internally, I think you see that. I think you see different programs. You see different benefits. You see different ways of communication that essentially are evolving as our workforce evolves. Even the past week, we had a meeting with a lot of the old guard, and it strikes them as funny, right? And different, but yet it's kind of this idea that we've got to kind of constantly be reinventing ourselves and changing so that we will be another 100 years. Because the reality is, on one end, we like the idea that we're someplace that we know we can grow and we can have a career and that it's familial. But at the same token, even for people that have been here 30 years, it's not the same company it was 30 years ago. In other words, both can be true. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I approach it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to listen to more of our episodes, please go to our website at traviscompanies.com/podcasts. Next week, we're going to be continuing our conversation with David Roy as he talks about what it's like working here as a young person with all of us old fogies. And we're going to continue that conversation next week. I hope you can join us, and thank you for listening.